Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Sherlock's Podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Hello, I'm Georgie Korishkol, Sherlock's founder and CEO, and welcome to today's In Conversation With Podcast. Today, I am joined by three very glamorous entrepreneurs who have all been really successful in the wellness and beauty industry. I am thrilled to welcome Michaela Boulder, Talitha Price, and Dr. Rona Iskander. Skincare, hair, dentistry. I'm really fascinated how you have all grown your businesses, your profiles, and become really, really well known in the industry. Can we have a bit of a summary for people that don't know you? I feel like you're all very well known in your spaces. But for people that don't know you, Michaela, can you give us a brief overview of your career path and what it is that you do?
Yeah, take a seat. Got 17 years of it.
I just read in your bio this morning that you were a tanning expert on The X Factor.
Yeah, right. And Strictly.
I mean, I've known you a long time. I did not know that.
I know, all the secrets. I know so many secrets that I could write a book. So how did I get? Wow. I was very young. So I was 21, way before social media. And I met Nicola Joss, who I assisted for about 6 years.
And what had you done? Sorry, just Nicola Joss, but pre her, what were your skills?
I was beauty therapy, MVQ 2 and 3 in a college in Broadstairs, so just where I lived. Did not have a clue this industry even existed. Nick lived near me, so we met and I started assisting her straight away. And it was an incredible journey for all that time. I learned so much. And then I started tanning with Saint-Tropez, which then uplifted, and then it brought me onto the tanning level of skin finishing, Fashion Week, Strictly, X Factor. And then I kind of took a little bit of a quiet time, and then I came back out and I was like, you know, my actual passion and my love is really for skin. And that's where I really started to put myself into facials and skincare and learning and courses and trying to expand everything as to who I am. And yeah, I think being in the industry for 17 years, I've met so many incredible people along the way, and that has been my journey. So everyone I've met since I was young, they're all the people that were the assistants, and then now they're all the leading editors of online publications and magazines. So we've all grown together, and I feel like there's always that path of a 10-year path when you meet people and you grow together, and that's how you start to expand.
I have to say, I did a panel at Barclays recently for women in markets. I mean, not really my world, but it was very nice to be asked. And they asked about networking advice, and I said, I really got to know people early on who were starting out on their own sort of entrepreneurial paths. And 17 years later, Sherlock's is 17. It's very cool to look around and now see these women sort of at the top of their game. So I would really encourage others to sort of start cultivating that network of people outside just the business you work for.
And hold on to people as well, and just to always just be yourself in every circumstance, because the moment you're not is the moment that you may have ruined one relationship that could be crucial to your future. So just always try and be you from day dot.
And today you are a master facialist and skincare expert.
Yes.
What does that actually mean?
So I never really thought of a name for what I do, because there are so many different things. Every treatment, if you came to see me 5 times, each time would be different depending on how you're feeling, how you are in your personality. Have you been late? Or is there something that your skin needs more than last time? So it changes all the time. And every time a client would come to see me, or press or PR, they'd say, what are you going to call yourself? And for this amount of years, I'm like, I don't know, probably maybe it's a confidence thing, but I never really knew how to nail exactly what it is I did until it is just me. What I do is just me. So all of the training I've done over the years, everything I've learned, the reading, just experience of hands-on therapy, touching skin, touching products, understanding ingredients, has created a treatment that only I can perform with my hands. So typically it's just the Boulder method. It just is what I am. So
the Boulder method. The Boulder method.
Yeah. Because it is. It changes all the time, and that is who I am. But that, as a master facialist for years, that's how I would refer to myself, because I never really knew of a name. So I'm a master in facial massage and actually like therapy in the body as well, and inside out facial massage, and everything is just down to exactly what that client needs. It's personalized.
Yeah.
And skin expert, I would say, probably comes under the fact that I host ingredients. So I'm obsessed with ingredients within a product. If you said to me, oh, is that product really great? I'm going to need to look at the ingredients, the full ingredients list, and then I can tell you. So that's in understanding skin, how skin changes, because I've been so hands-on for so many years and seen so many concerns that I've just kind of created an experience of knowing that an expertise in what your skin should need and maybe doesn't need, as well as how we can encourage facial massage into your routine, which is just an absolute game changer.
Talitha.
Hi.
I'm going to ask the same of you now. Yeah, what was your, what's your journey been to Fox and Vamp?
Yeah, so I think from a young age, I always had an interest in skin, makeup, and particularly hair. I trained as a hairdresser when I left college, and I think I learned at a young age what an impact it had to make somebody feel amazing by simply doing their hair. I did it in a small town, which is where I'm from, so I didn't stay there very long.
Where are you from?
Southport. I don't know if anyone's heard of it.
It's yes.
Tiny, have you? But I ended up in London, and then, like I said, I actually did love makeup, so I actually ended up working in makeup, starting off on the makeup counters, but very quickly, within 18 months, worked up to an area manager role within Estee Lauder, then LVMH. I ran Selfridges Beauty Hall.
And did you?
Yeah.
So love I think, that. So many great people have started behind the counter.
I think that, honestly, it really teaches you to build client relationships. Yeah. You understand you can sell.
Yeah.
You can build relationships, you can manage a team. And I worked with amazing women along the way, really strong women who actually I'm working with one now. So it's kind of done a 360. But while I was in London, I was literally traveling back home, back to Liverpool, because Liverpool's quite close, to get my hair extensions done. Or I was going to Marbella. And I was like, this is crazy.
What,
like,
for your extensions?
Yeah. I was like, I live in London and I'm going back home to get my extensions done, or I'm hopping on a flight to get my hair extensions done.
Oh.
Because there was a handful of places in London. One, I couldn't afford. It was unattainable. The second, I would have really had to compromise on quality. So obviously I have the skill set there. I've done hairdressing. And I'm like, this is really a gap in the market here. I'm not the only person who can't find good quality hair. So I trained in hair extensions when I had my corporate role on my days off.
And where do you train in those?
I can't even remember the name. You can do different courses.
Right.
There was a course in London. It was like London Hair School or something. I actually can't remember. From there, I always envisaged having a brand. I never wanted it to just be me. I wanted it to become a brand, not just a salon. I thought of the name Fox and Vamp, and I left my job. At the time I started at home, obviously I didn't have a premises.
How long ago is this?
2019. Okay. Yeah.
So not that long ago.
Not that long, no. We were living in Battersea Beach at the time, and honestly, I had flyers made. I must have flyered like 500, 1,000 people. And I'll never forget like the first phone call off a real client. I was like shaking, like, oh my God, somebody actually wants to come. And then it kind of just was word of mouth. And then I rented a space in Wandsworth Town. I quickly realized.
Were you in Wandsworth Town?
Wandsworth Town,
no
yeah.
No way, that's where Sherlock's used to be.
Really? Yeah,
you
I love
there
it.
For a decade.
Yeah, so nice.
Longer.
And then I quickly realized when I was renting the space, it was growing. And I realized quickly that I'd need our own space. So Fox and Vamp opened in Chelsea in November 2019. And where we are today is we have our own hairline now. We have our own accessories. We're expanding out to Dubai. So we're doing a pop-up out there in April. And it's accessible now for people online. So we have our own hair, and I plan on wholesaling the hair into other salons so we can scale that way as well.
You and I had a conversation about this.
We
I mean,
did.
It's fascinating. I'm not sure we've got time to cover it now, but I was like, where does the hair
I know.
Come from? What is it? You know, it's real.
It's real human hair. Yeah. I know. Some people can't get their head around that, but of course it's hair. And I always say to my customers, you want to treat it better than you treat your own hair. You know,
yeah.
You want to treat it well. It acts like your own hair. And yeah, that is where we are.
And you say you've got your own line.
Yes.
So what does that consist of?
Yeah. So we do this lots of different methods of hair extensions. So when I say we have our own line, I actually import all our own hair. So I have a hair supplier and it's branded our own. It's taken years for me to create the perfect shades. That is a huge part of hair extensions looking natural, is the shades, because clearly it needs to match your hair.
Yeah.
And our shades are really, they're really amazing quality, but they're also dimensional. They have like six shades in one shade. We have six shades running through it because that dimension makes it look super natural.
Right.
So that's our own range. We have our hair extensions brush now because, again, it just kind of felt it was a natural next step to have it, because you need a certain brush and certain bristles to look after your hair extensions.
And your hair extensions can be bought where?
Yes. So, of course, if you come into salon, we have all the hair there, which is great, because gone are the days where you used to have to come have a consultation. I don't know, you know, in other salons you would have to do that, but gone are the days where you have to come have a consult. They would have to order the hair in from a hair supply and it would take like 3 days. We have all the hair in stock. However, I appreciate that not everyone can come to Chelsea and not everyone can access that. So we now have a clip-in range that you can buy it online and it's accessible. Yeah. So people can just do it anywhere worldwide now.
Amazing. Have you ever had hair extensions?
I've got some in, actually.
Have you?
I know. We were actually chatting earlier, so I need to come and see you next time. Yeah, I just have like two at the front because my hair is so fine.
Yeah.
And I've got such short hair that I just needed some volume at the front. And without them, I don't get this lovely curl that lasts because...
Whoa, that blows my mind.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
I'm actually so pleased that you are here to be the perfect model.
I'm the opposite. I'm short and blonde and you're lovely and flowy.
But it's fascinating because Laura Wills, who's a friend...
Yes, of course.
I mean, she's been going to you for...
I know.
Ages and ages and ages. I mean, Trini's obviously the biggest fan in the world of hair extensions.
I know, and she's just had our clip-ins, actually.
Has she? Yeah. Cool, congratulations, that's amazing.
Yeah, and she actually messaged me saying it's the best hair she's used.
Well done, that's great.
Really amazing.
I think it is, though, that misconception that you're going to look like Barbie, but actually...
I think, obviously, sometimes you can think hair extensions, you may think tacky, you may think long, but that's just a really old way of thinking. I think back in the day, you were told if you bleached your hair, it would ruin your hair and it's going to fall out. Well, we now know you can bleach your hair every 6 weeks and your hair can be in perfect condition. And it's the same with hair extensions. You can have
The one thing about me that's natural.
I know.
She's
like, do you know why? Because I said to Georgie when I first met, I was like, you have the most beautiful hair
color. Natural color.
It's her natural color.
I actually used to bleach it blonder.
Did you?
Oh my
you
God, don't need I look to. Back and I'm like, it was so
I
awful.
Wasn't talking at you. Talking no, to you.
No, 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 no.
Really, really beautiful so colour.
Really.
Actually, very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have like such a natural.
I should try some extensions. There's a couple of girls in the office at Sherlock who are, it's funny, I feel like the tides are changing.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of girls who are like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I also think that clip-ins are a great starting point because you can just clip it in, take it out. You don't have...
The commitment,
exactly. So for the commitment phase, and also people who are a little bit scared, you know, and they're seamless and they're lightweight and you can pop it in and pop it out whenever you need.
Have you popped yours in?
No,
someone pop them in for
someone
you.
Someone pop them in for you.
Love it. Rona.
Georgie.
I'm sitting here with my new veneers, thanks to Rona, which I have to say I paid for before anyone thinks otherwise. But I'm absolutely delighted with them. I had them done just before I got married. I've been married for 17 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
I thought they were okay. Oh my God, when I see the before and afters, I'm like, oh my God, you are very clever.
Well, thank you so much. But just for context, Georgie actually had an accident when she was younger. So she had all these old veneers. So we basically replaced them.
I got given a veneer when I was eight. I dived into a swimming pool.
Can you imagine? Oh my goodness.
And broke my front teeth off. And my dentist gave me one veneer. He gave a child one veneer instead of putting train tracks back on.
Yeah.
Because it stuck out. Anyway, then I had six. And Rona was like, you need to widen that smile, girl. So I've now got 10. And it's not something to be considered lightly. It's a big commitment, isn't it? And it's a big cost. But I'm also so thrilled.
Thank
so
you.
Thrilled. You are very clever. Tell us your journey.
So I think that my journey, it's quite an interesting one because I wanted to be a dentist since I was 12. I had grown up in a family of medics, but my story is, you know, I'm kind of typically from an immigrant family. So when my father came to the UK, he came to the UK with nothing but £30 in his pocket and was like, right, you know, I want to live the dream, become a doctor, worked really hard to go to King's, you know, did like waitering and Spaghetti House back in the day. I don't know if anyone remembers.
Yes.
So he put himself through medical school. And then I think that then he worked in the UK for many years, met my mum abroad. Then he decided to bring us back to the UK. He struggled for many years on the NHS. My mum's degree wasn't also like viable in the UK. And I think growing up around sort of like an immigrant mindset and mentality means like everything that you get given, you can't take it for granted. And there's such an onus on education and being educated and working really hard.
So, and having a profession as
yeah,
well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I was about to say that. And I think that like, it's like, there's a choice in life. Like, first of all, it's not like, are you going to university? It is which university you're going to. And, you know, it's doctor, lawyer, dentist, maybe an engineer, you know, and it's all those professions that, you know, as you said, when I was at school, I excelled in English literature and drama. And my teachers were like, she needs to go to Oxbridge and go and do English. And my dad was like, for what? To do what? To read books? Do a proper degree. But luckily, I did always want to be a dentist. And it was in me because I was inspired by my aunt. I found dental school really difficult because when I went there, I just didn't get on with them. You know, I didn't find necessarily medics and dentists to be the most inspiring people. And I'm sure you guys have had it where you have met medical professionals and you've been like, you just don't get me, you know, and they talk to you very much like you're talking to a textbook, you know. They don't give you that care and that empathy. You know, you were talking earlier and I really resonated where you were like, I feel like, you know, it's a profession where you should be providing some kind of healing. You know, you were like, your clients, you feel them, you know, releasing like that body stress from your facials. And it's like, that's the same with dentistry. Like, I want people to feel safe. And as you mm-hmm. said, it's not necessarily the most pleasant experience in the mm-hmm. world, but you want someone like they really trust you with their mm-hmm. body when they come for like medical care. So anyway, I did not get on with the dentists at all, but I just got on in dental school, but I built a network. So like, as you were saying earlier, like connecting with people, like really understanding them. So I really got on well with people that did English lit, politics, journalism, drama, like all of those subjects, which I feel like the more kind of humanitarian side of things. So I had people that like knew that, and like that whole crowd as well, like opened me up to like a host of possibilities, I suppose, from like a PR point of view, because they knew other people. Whereas like the other dentists in dental school, they just stuck to the dentists and medics. And I was like, I don't want to just be treating mouths. I want to be treating human beings. And I want to kind of, you know, give a wider message. Anyway, I went through clearing and I ended up working in this little village called Headcorn, which you said that, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere, like literally like a five sheep, like five shops, you know, like, you know, like it's... And I found it a really unfulfilling practice. You know, it was very much drill, fill, pay the bill. And, you know, that sort of thing. So I met somebody through my VT year. So another dentist that was like studying, and he was working at practice where he was doing meaningful dentistry. So his boss put him on courses where he was doing smile makeovers. And I was like, oh, you know, this is amazing. So I invested all of my time and money in these courses. And what I realized was, is that dentistry can change people's lives, because when you go on these smile makeover courses, you see people cry, you see people being like, now I can apply for a job, now I have the ability to go and like date people and speak to people, you know, because your mouth is such a vital organ. Anyway, after I built up a portfolio, I started CV dropping all over London. And when I CV dropped, I eventually got a practice in High Street, Kensington, after 3 years. He was like, oh, there's somebody going on maternity leave.
And is this NHS or?
Yeah, this is NHS. And so I was on the NHS for like a good 10, 11 years. And then what happened was, is that when I went to work in this practice, I was like, right, I'm going to make myself an asset to the practice. Luckily, because it was on High Street, Kensington, I saw that there was a lot of opportunity, because at the time it was the Daily Mail that was opposite the practice. So we got a lot of people like that worked at like the Daily Mail. And I think the Telegraph was also near us. So I started pitching to journalists, and no one in dentistry was doing this at the time. So they were like, I was like, have you ever thought about writing about dentistry? And they were like, people only write horror stories. It's like, my dentist botched me, or you know what I mean? Or like, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I started opening up this idea of like beauty and wellness. And I was like, actually, having teeth can impact you like this. I was like, can I do some whitening on you and see what you feel like? And like you, I had like little cutouts and like stylist and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is so great. So I essentially pitched myself and then joined Instagram. And at the same time, I had a I had Lydia Bright from TOWIE. I don't know if anyone watched like the original TOWIE like lot. Her agent contacted randomly the practice and was like, oh, do you want to treat Lydia for free for Invisalign? Like, and she'll do exposure. And at the time, influencer marketing wasn't such a big thing. So I was like, sure, I'll try it. And I spent all the money out of my own pocket, treated her. She went on Twitter and then I got patients off that. And I was like, this is so interesting because this is like word of mouth, but on a different level. Because
amplified.
Yeah, amplified, exactly.
Mouth, yeah.
So I was like, hey, this is great. And then the person that really broke my business was Melissa's Wardrobe. Like, they call her one of the golden girls.
Oh, she's so cool.
And she approached me. And again, she was like, I'm happy to pay for my treatment. I'll document my journey. And she did. And then I was fully booked for 6 months. And so I grew a practice from seeing one patient a month to being fully booked for 6 months. And there was a few other influencers. And then I was like, wow, this is great. And this is way before any other dental professionals were doing this kind of thing online. So 3 years after that, I just said to my boss, look, I want to buy the practice. I bought it. And then I completed on buying a week before national lockdown. So then I had to take on this like huge practice. But luckily now, like today, as you know, we had a massive refurb. So
yeah, is it five, are you there nearly?
I can't wait to have you in the new space.
Come and have a look.
Yeah, so it's a 5-surgery practice now and I've got 25 members of staff. So
congratulations. Wow. That's amazing. Can we talk about pivotal moments? I mean, you talked about Nicola Joss, huge, huge, huge name in the industry. You know, being mentored by somebody like that, those
Can someone educate me who she is?
Yeah, so she's been in the industry for many, many years. She was kind of like the Sam McKnight, Mary Greenwell, Val Garland style people. Yeah, and it was an honour to meet her. I met her actually in Whitstable, where we both lived. I was in there doing a set of nails for a client. She was having her hair done and was talking about her job. And I'm thinking, I'm 20 years old, thinking, is she even for real? Wait, what? She's going to the Oscars, going to a facial. What? That's what I do.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. And yeah, that is now. Yeah, here we are, 17 years on.
I'm How long till the Oscars?
A week.
And you're going to be there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go Congrats. Out.
Yeah, I know. I don't, you know, I'm very grateful for everything. And it was a very pivotal moment for me to meet her. I learned so much.
And how did the conversation go? How did you end up being her assistant? I mean, meeting is one thing.
I got her number from the hair salon in Gina. Gina said, I'll share her number with you. I phoned her and said, can I book a spray tan? I've just heard everything about you. Can I come and book a spray tan? And she said, yeah, come to the house, went to the house, had a treatment with her. And then I said, if you ever need an assistant, I'm freelance. I just work for myself. I was mobile, beauty therapy. And doing everything, waxing, nails, facials, massage, everything I needed to do. And she's like, yeah, I'll take your number. And then 3 months later, you can imagine, I waited every day checking my phone. Nothing for 3 months. And then 3 months later, yeah, my first job with her was nails on a Gucci shoot for front cover of Vogue.
Wow. Nice.
No idea this industry even existed. And that was my first job. Yeah, my first spray tan ever was Elle Macpherson.
Wow. Was it?
That's incredible.
Yeah, but you know when you know everything. I knew so much about beauty and I was so confident in skin and facials and understanding that, yeah, we had a call out for a spray tan and no one could make it. So I was like, well,
I'll go. That's incredible.
Amazing. Yeah. That's so cool. And other pivotal moments? Because you really are so highly respected and
thank you.
You know, your approach to facial massage, just watching you do it, frankly, makes me go into a sort of relaxed trance.
Yeah.
You're really at the top of your game. How have you got there? What other moments have taken place that have mean you have become this master facialist?
I honestly would say that my meeting with Nicola, then my separation from Nicola, hit me hard because I didn't really know what to do or where to go. And then I was brand ambassador for Saint-Tropez, so they pulled me back out. And then it was a lot of red carpet events, which then you gain your confidence. And then every time I turned up at a client's house for a spray tan, I'd say, do you want to have a facial with me? So I was gifting my facial treatments to everybody I possibly could just to build my clientele. And I would do one treatment and that would be it. There would be paying clients and then they would tell their person and their person. I've never had management until now. So I've always, it's just been word of mouth. I've always just done everything myself.
And just two things on that. Saint-Tropez, how did that come along? I mean, dream. I mean, they did just own the market entirely, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, they did, yeah.
How did you get that gig?
So Nicola was an ambassador for them.
Right.
And then they took me under as an ambassador. And then I was kind of the one that was sent out to every single job, which was incredible. I was pretty much in a car with a spray tan machine all the time, everywhere I went. And that just then followed through. So I was with them in a contract for about 6 years back then. Then we took a break when I just needed to be skin because people were seeing me for tanning only and I needed to wrap that up. And I was all about facials, skincare. So that's when I just wrapped that. And now I'm, of course, both. So I'm tanning expert, skin finishing behind the scenes on Fashion Week. So I can almost create a whole body head
to
toe.
Yeah, I guess skin and tan goes so hand in hand, doesn't it?
Red carpet. And then, of course, COVID hit. And that was another pivotal moment for me because I was all very secret. So I've been secret for many, many years, which is why lots of people are very confused about, you know, how did you kind of get to this point? But seeing clients and celebrities and VIPs and working as an ambassadorship, launching products for huge brands over the years was a very quiet time for me because I wasn't then outside of it. I wasn't doing social media so much. I wasn't that great on social media because I was always working behind the scenes, quotes for magazines and quotes for online publications, seeing clients wherever I needed to go in the world. And then COVID hit and of course it became educational. So then the magazines were coming. We need you to do some lives. We need some education pieces. We need to teach people how to do this at home. And then that was a big change for me because so that's when I got
that's
into
sort
education.
Of a big partnership time, isn't it,
yeah.
as well?
It bridged a big gap for me between being an expert and the influencer.
Yeah, interesting. And you talked about gifting. You talked about Melissa. You talked about Lydia Bright. I totally get it. Like, it's how you get your name out there, isn't it? And it does work with the right people. I was with a jewellery client actually this week and I was like, it should absolutely be part of your strategy, but it's not, it shouldn't be a blanket thing, be really precise. There are lots of people that do what you three do. Mm-hmm. You are three people that have built brands around what you do and taken it to another level. Mm. And I think gifting is part of that. So yeah, what advice do you have? How much has it played a part?
So I think it's interesting. I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say also in terms of this, because I think that there was more of an era. Like when I first started doing the influencer marketing, as I said, I didn't really know much and I feel the influence was much stronger. Now I feel that, you know, if I do a little bit of like a few collaboration things, it is not as impactful. Like mm-hmm. I used to see a real surge in inquiries, for example, if somebody posted. Now I was speaking to somebody, Anthony Powell,
I'm sure, exactly.
Him and I are working together on like the launch of the new clinic. And he was like, you've still got some of your, what he calls the golden girls. And he was like, Melissa's wardrobe is a golden girl. And I was like, that is interesting. Because I've had people in the clinic with like millions of followers or like hundreds of thousands.
Some convert better than others.
And some don't really convert and some do. And I also feel that as well, like you've also got to be constantly pivoting with the type of treatment offering. So for example, you'd be like, I was one of the first people to do bonding and then everyone started doing bonding, you know, so that's why I was saying to you upstairs, you know, like now I'm doing more like contact lens veneers, which are these like ultra thin veneers, like I'm looking for new things.
Contact lens veneers.
Yeah, they're different. So they're ones that are just basically either you don't drill the tooth at all or you do very minimal prep and they're very thin, but they're only suitable for like certain cases. But I've had to sort of pivot slightly because I know that, for example, everyone is confused because, and you know, they've done market research to show that if you give people two choices, they'll make a decision. If they go into a supermarket alley and there's like 10 things to choose from, they actually just leave because they just don't want to make the decision.
Right.
So I feel like online, it's the same thing. Like you said, like so many dentists are offering the same thing or you know, people that are doing hair extensions, etc. But you also know that you're your own USP and people also buy into you as a brand. And I'm sure there are still influencers out there that can have some kind of impact. But for me, I think it's less than it was 5-10 years ago. That's just my personal experience.
What about you, Talitha?
I think it's so important. I built my business working with really influential people and obviously Laura Wills being a huge factor.
I mean, she is your like biggest champion.
She really is. And she's still with us now, still has her hair done, which obviously says a lot. I just think that I understand what you're saying. It might not have
as much,
but I think it's really important. And for me, gifting is just so the easiest way to get your name out there. And this year, you know, you say we're known, maybe we're known within London, Chelsea, yeah. You know, we're not known out there. And that's really brand awareness is what I want to do. And I think gifting is the easiest way to do that. You start
with the injury, don't you? And I think what's interesting about sort of Laura, for example, is she's brought her friends along with her. And so there is now, you know, within that kind of
within
influence
that group, we
set
hit them.
And group, yeah. they're all going to see, yeah, they all exactly. love you. All, and,
yeah.
and so it's
and
not
it also
just...
has that ripple effect. You don't want, yes. I think sometimes you've got to remember as well, even if you don't get the biggest sell or uplift, actually that person going to somewhere else is impactful on your business.
Totally.
So you'd rather just keep them and just, you know, they might create amazing content, or I just think it's more brand damaging than going somewhere else. So even if our sales don't do amazingly well, if we don't see an uplift, I'd rather have the right people coming and championing the brand,
for sure.
And I think it's the easiest way, especially for us now we've got product. I'm thinking session stylists in Dubai, we're sending our hair out to now. Those session stylists are with the most influential people, so they can get the hair out there. So it's just thinking about ways you can gift in a smart way. It's cheap to gift. It's cheaper to gift than working with PR.
It's probably the cheapest form of marketing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dubai, that's exciting.
I know.
Getting the hair, I love the way you talk about getting our hair there. I mean, will you ever run out?
Yes, of course. We run out of shades. So at the minute, we've got quite a lot of hair, but we've sold out of like 4 shades online at the moment, but it's in production.
So that hair, I was saying before we went live that when I was little, I cut a friend's hair off. She had hair.
Imagine what that's worth.
Down to her bottom.
Fortune.
And I cut her
Virgin
a bob. We hid it in a box and hoped that our mothers wouldn't notice. I mean, that could have...
You could have made
sold
you
it back
then.
Yeah. Could have ended on my could have ended on my What a waste.
I know.
And so gifting for you... Mm. That
done
remains.
It, I've done it for years, yeah. And but like you said, kind of pieces from both of you guys. You know, it is very different now. I don't have a product as such yet to offer, so it's me that I can offer.
Mm-hmm. It's your time.
Yeah, and of course I would love something back, but it's a decision because it's just me. It's a decision that I make, and I think I really respect that person. I want to give them a gift, and that gift is my hands. That gift is what I can give them. And if I get something out of that, that's how I feel like I've done, you know, my whole life. If I've met someone and we have a connection, I want to gift them something because that's how you form a bond. So it will be, oh, I'd love to give you a facial. I mean, I've been trying to get hold of your face for a very long time. Still have not got there. That is one of my pivotal moments I'm waiting for.
Don't take that. I don't have facials. It's just a time. I'm dying to have a facial with
you.
We will
get there. Yeah. But yeah, I think gifting
is only
important.
One person I'd want to go to for a facial. It's you. Truly, I know you're bloody brilliant. I really do. I just also know that I will love it so much. I'll then want to see you however long. And just fitting that into life is quite... What's the optimum frequency for facials, actually?
Well, I do always say that it depends on budget with clients. So when I'm doing my facial massage, you can see me as often as you like. So when I have clients that are filming and they're red carpet or they're filming in 10 weeks' time, I will see them every week for 6 weeks, face and body. So it's lymphatic drainage, making sure that their body and face is working.
Do you do lymphatic drainage?
Yeah, on the body.
On the body as well.
Yeah.
Talking of Dubai, we wrote a feature recently for Sherlock's Middle East on lymphatic drainage. And I think we were in about week 4 of the launch of the Middle East site. And I was like... This seems quite niche in week 4. Shouldn't we be doing stuff that sounds a bit more, you know,
no, it's
of the region?
It's massive. It's massive.
It's
yeah.
absolutely
People are
massive
obsessed with
out
it.
There.
Yeah.
What does it achieve?
I have so many benefits. Water retention, muscle release. You know, we have so much stagnant blood flow within our muscle tissue that increasing the blood flow, increasing that collagen, elastin stimulation within the face and in the body, just having any toxin that's laying around that perhaps, you know, when you're working out and you think, oh, my calves were really painful, there's a chance there's a lot of stagnant tissue that needs to be awoken. It needs to be worked on. It also can help if you have fluid in the ankles that you need draining that you can't necessarily get to unless you open the flow of the entire body. The entire body works as one system. If you have stagnant areas, it kind of doesn't really work as
one piece. Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's when you start to get a bit of a negative flow in the body. Mm. So working the full body head to toe towards the heart, the blood flow, the stimulation, ridding of toxins And actually, in awe, it makes you feel better.
I need to do this.
It really does.
Yeah, people in as I said, it is huge in Dubai. They are all, there's this one person that everyone is sort of just, you should get out there for a pop-up.
Coming
up. We were just talking about it, weren't we?
Oh, were you? And sort of Oscar red carpet prep, for example. What are they achieving in seeing you? I mean, you're saying you're going out to LA to see people pre-Oscars.
Yeah.
Will that be one treatment? Is it three? What are they achieving?
It'll be one treatment. And so I've just done BAFTA here as well. And one of my clients from BAFTA said to me that it's actually the most important part of her. And she's so grateful that the brand organised for me to visit her. So Lancôme said, can you visit this client?
So you have a long-term partnership with Lancôme,
I do,
correct?
Yes. Yeah.
You work with other brands.
It's non-exclusive. We have a beautiful relationship. I've used their product for so many years, it just made sense that I would be incorporated into their events as well. So I saw this client. She was absolutely incredible. It was on my Instagram, Lily Collins. And she said to me, she's a beautiful person. And she said, this is such a precious moment for me because when I walk out of that door, I'm in work mode. There's cameras, there's lights, there's photography, there's makeup, there's hair, there's people here. And so I have that client on my own in a room. There's two of us. We have a beautiful bed. It's comfortable. It's warm. It's safe. So any vulnerabilities they can have in that moment. So aside from...
It's well-being as well. Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little bit of therapy in that sense as well. Sometimes they come in and talk. Sometimes they will have absolutely nothing to say and they just lay. And I kind of go with the vibe of the client as well. Yeah. I always have. I don't know whether anyone believes in that healing kind of feeling, but I do. It's about that client, 100% about that client. So Oscar's
and then they,
red
and then
carpet,
they leave glowing.
Yeah. They leave feeling incredible. They leave feeling empowered and strong again. It's like they've been laying down for having a 12-hour sleep. They just had a facial. But in that facial, they've had the collagen stimulation, blood flow, lymphatic drainage. They're lifted. They look snatched. Their skin's glowing. They feel empowered. There's so much to just having a facial treatment.
I want to lie down. Fascinating. So frequency-wise, in an ideal world, you would see someone
every 4 to 6 weeks, I would say, And then you have the maintenance at home, but it's important to know how to have your skin maintenance at home. So consistency is key for great and healthy skin. That's what I always say to my clients. So see me for a facial every 4 weeks, but make sure that we're working on your skin daily in the meantime.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Talitha, are you every 4 to 6 weeks? How often do people see you?
Yeah, I think definitely 4 to 6 weeks. Even if your hair extensions are going to last longer than that, the maintenance piece is really good.
So Why don't they just grow out? And as they grow out, I start to see them a little bit. So I like to have them done every 4 weeks
For you, because somebody like yourself, you've got finer hair. I would definitely be saying you need to be in max 5 weeks.
And how long does it take?
You've got tapes, right?
Yeah.
So tapes could be under an hour and the refit again. Under an hour, really quick.
And what is the cost for that?
Really depends. It's a starting price from $290. It can obviously go a lot higher depending on what you have. You've obviously just got volume, so that's what it would be for yours. But that includes the fitting and everything else. But yeah, we want to see you, even if your extensions, you know, we have some methods that will last 4 months.
Really?
But, yeah, really? Which is great for people who don't have the time. We understand it's a busy world, you know, we see so many busy women.
4 months, wow. And what's the cost for extensions that last that long?
Again, it's just honestly, it's so varied.
Right.
I'm just, there's a starting point of like, again, around 290. It can go a lot higher.
Yeah.
It just really depends.
Yeah. Is it damaging if people don't get it done often?
Yeah,
because I feel like if you leave it in for too long without the professional looking after you, it can actually be more damaging.
100%. You have to be able to commit. If you're committing to have extensions, you're going to have to look after them. And you can't take them out yourself.
Do people try it?
Yeah, people do all sorts.
I can't imagine ripping stuff out of my hair.
I know.
Really?
But you know, there will be no damage as long as you're like maintaining them at home and you're coming to see us regularly enough, for sure.
Yeah, if you want hair like you and you look like me, that's going to cost you quite a lot more. Back to the question on sort of pivotal moments.
Yeah.
What have yours been?
I think, I know we've spoken about her so much, but I think really working with Laura Wills, fashion book blog, has been a real pivotal moment for the brand. I think just even the way she looks, she doesn't necessarily look like your typical hair extension client. And I think that's been really key in getting us on the map.
Because there are misconceptions, preconceptions.
There totally are, and I know we've touched on this, but I think the fact that she has them and looks the way she does was a real pivotal moment, and she really helped the brand grow. I think another pivotal moment was actually, I actually had a falling out disagreement with our UK London hair supplier, which is a brand. But actually it was pivotal because it forced me into, well, I was already sourcing my own, but I didn't really want to take the leap because it's an investment and it's time. But it happened and it kind of gave me the little push that I needed. And now I look back and I'm like, I'm so glad that that happened because now it's created our own hairline. So that was a real pivotal moment.
So often those things, life works out. I always think
exactly. And it was awful at the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, where am I going to get the hair from? But now I'm like, thank God that happened. Wish it had happened sooner.
Funny, isn't it? Rona, veneers. I mean, proof is here. You're pretty awesome at that. Invisalign. Obviously, regular dentistry, I have to say, before I had my veneers done. In fact, you kindly did see me for this and treated me to that.
Yeah.
But which was to see your hygienist.
Yes.
Who was so good because I'm so terrible at the hygienist.
Oh, I don't like it.
That I got to have an injection before. Oh. I saw
she's good though.
She's amazing. I am now a customer for life.
Good.
Because I can't, the hygienist, I cannot, the drill and the scratchy thing, I just can't do that. The nerves. Mm. But anyway, I had an injection. It was a game changer. And I hate an injection in my mouth, but a bit of cream.
Does it all.
Bit of cream and in we go.
Literally, feels nothing. It was amazing. So you do regular, obviously, dentistry.
Yeah.
And then on the cosmetic side, Invisalign, veneers.
Bonding.
And bonding.
Yeah.
And what do you see? I mean, it's amazing how far teeth have come.
Yeah.
In this country, isn't it? I always remember, you know, in the US, people would show you sort of their teeth versus British teeth and would be like, whoa. Yeah. But what's happening? What's new? Where do you see it?
So as I said, like, teeth were never really seen as a beauty commodity, particularly in the UK. In America, it's always been seen that way. And earlier on, I was saying, you know, actually teeth go through like trends and styles. And someone's like, you can't have trends for teeth. And I'm like, yeah, it's actually a thing because, you know, you've got the typical Hollywood smile, which everyone knows is, you know, the teeth are big, bright and white. And some people want that, by the way. And I think it's very personal to everybody, like in all of our industries, like everyone has a personal style that they feel comfortable with. I very much try to put focus on a natural smile. So like dentistry so good that you won't know it's there is kind of like the tagline that I like to adhere to. I think people are moving a lot away from the kind of like big bright white teeth. It was really funny because I did I do like debunks on social media and I was talking about Miley Cyrus's teeth, but just like in a really factual way. And it was so funny how many people had noticed her teeth because they felt they were very big and dominant and bold. But that's something that she may have just wanted. And I think it's really important that you listen to the client's concerns. Like you and I even went through that process, you know, like which style do you want? Which shape do you want? Which color do you want? You know, all of these different elements. I think importantly now, which is also like the health focus, is there's so many conversations about the oral microbiome and its connection to the rest of the body. So for example, we talk a lot about the gut microbiome, right? Like we've all been like, we'll take Simprove or, you know, all of these other things or different like supplements. Yeah. We want our gut going. But now a lot of studies have shown that the oral microbiome has a huge impact on your whole system. So for example, gum disease and diabetes have a bi-directional relationship. So what by that is that if you have severe gum disease, you're more likely to have type 2 diabetes and the other way around. So actually, now what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing testing, which you can either do at home or the professional can do for you. And it can tailor the way that we do our cleanings, how regular, the type, etc. So we can impact the bacteria in your mouth and therefore the rest of the body. And I think that's a really interesting part of dentistry. I mean, even Huberman did a whole podcast on just the oral microbiome, which is incredible. And we can see that we're having those conversations. So again, that wellness and making sure people feel good from within, not just, you know, for the way they look, is a super important part of what we're doing now at Chelsea.
Amazing. And you also have your own product line.
Yes.
Parlour.
Yes.
When did you launch that? How's it going?
So We launched, so I've got two co-founders, Dr. Simon Chard and Dr. Arash Thanki. We basically decided a year before national lockdown, we had always been approached by big corporate brands. And just as you were saying, Michaela, about ingredients, like I'm always looking at ingredients. And I'm like, that's actually not good for you. Like even the big mainstream brands, I'm like, we don't want to be putting like SLS and all of these different products in our body, especially it's like the mouth has got one of the most absorbent tissues in the body. We're like, instead of us continuously promoting other brands, like why don't we create our own product line? So we came up with Parlour, which is basically,
which is so the same for all of you, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So it's basically a dehydrated toothpaste. It comes in tablet form. It's sold in reusable glass jars. And again, it's because toothpaste tubes take 500 years to decompose. So there's the sustainability element yeah. where we were like, we have to make a change. Mm-hmm. And with the toothpaste tablet, you just chew on it, wet your toothbrush and brush as normal. And then we developed our ingredient deck to include things that were good for you. So like things that have anti-aging stuff for the enamel, which people didn't know about, an ingredient called hydroxyapatite, vitamin E and vitamin B12. And we got asked to be on Dragon's Den. So we did Dragon's Den.
Did you?
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh, yeah. So that was in 2021. The scariest experience of your entire life, by the way. Like you're in there for about 6 hours and they only show like 12 minutes of the actual clip. And we actually got offered two investments. So we got Tej Lavani and Deborah Meaden both decided they want to invest, but we turned it down.
Did you?
Yeah, because they wanted too much. They wanted such a high percentage. We just thought it wasn't worth it. But anyways, we went on to, you know, now we're in Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Boots, Amazon.
Congratulations. So, thank brilliant. You. And what's in the line?
So we've got the Parlour normal one. We've got Parlour whitening, Pro Whites. That's the whitening tablet. Then we've got the Parlour probiotic mouthwash. We've got our bamboo toothbrush and we've got new product development that's underway at the moment.
Wow. I have to tell you that about 5 years ago, I sat in my kitchen one night with my husband and another couple. And I said, the toothpaste toothbrush market needs a shake up.
Yeah,
where is the Aesop of toothpaste?
That's what we've done with our branding.
That I can put by my sink. Yeah. And I said, and they were like, I think you've got quite enough on. I said, I know, but it's annoying me. Because if you're looking for a disruptor category, this is one. Yeah. My toothbrush and my toothpaste live in the cupboard.
Yeah,
and it'd be much easier if they lived on the sink, but they just
they're not aesthetic.
Yeah, that's what we did with Parlour.
I have used them. I really like them. I think they're so handy to travel with as well.
What, Parlour?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
It's in the jar and they're so easy and they do look nice on the side.
Oh my God.
That's like a toothpaste.
That's kind. And own product line?
Something's in the pipeline. It's coming this year. Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm ready. It's time. Mm. Yeah.
And like, getting to the crux of it, you know, making money, you know, you can be a plumber or you can meet Pimlico plumbers. And I sort of feel we're in this amazing time. We have been for a while now where you can be anything and be the best at anything and create a brand, achieve more than you would if you were a one man band. But it takes a lot of drive and a bit of risk and
crying,
exhaustion.
But I mean, you're all running successful, profitable businesses.
I think it helps when you're passionate about what you do. And like, so even when I was working in the corporate world, it was such hard work. So I'm not afraid to work hard ever. But if you're not really that passionate, you have to just love what you do because every day is not good. Obviously.
Yeah.
But if you love what you do, then it'll keep you going.
And how have you coped with the whole other side that comes from running a business, being self-employed, et cetera, et cetera? Because you've all got your own businesses and that comes with a lot of other stuff to deal with. Do you have any advice to how do you handle all of that? Because it's not just being creative, is it?
My advice would always be take risks, but probably more measured risks. Mm. Believe in what you do. Surround yourself with the right people. I think getting the right team for me has been a huge part, and anyone who owns a business will tell you that is such a challenge. And I think when you meet somebody whose values align with yours, hold on to them because you can grow with that person. Equally, surround yourself with like-minded people even when you're not at work, because I think it really helps grow you and develop you.
Yeah.
But yeah, take the risks and just believe in yourself, because you have to believe in yourself. I always think, have the biggest dreams. I have a vision board. I know exactly where I want the brand to be, and kind of work backwards from that to get the steps.
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think you have to wake up every day with purpose. Like I literally love sorry, Georgie, but even when I was doing your teeth, I love zoning in on the patient. Like that, I feel so present. Like I've definitely diagnosed myself with having ADHD because usually my mind is like multitasking. But when I'm with that patient, I am so hyper-focused.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love the way my brain is not thinking about Instagram or emails to be replied to or this or a team meeting. I'm literally like there just drilling the tooth and thinking about the science and the like technique. And I absolutely love that. But I think also like communication and instilling a culture is so important within your business, because culture is what drives it forward. I think what you've built at Sheerlux is phenomenal because there is a culture. When I think of Sheerlux as a brand, it is a brand. Do you know what I mean? You are obviously amazing as the CEO, but I don't think of just Georgie. I'm like, this is it's a movement.
So true.
And I think, you know, as you said, not being too afraid to take the risks, because at the other side of that scary part is where the magic happens, as they say.
I also think when you're taking the risks, especially in the beginning, you will fail. So just be prepared
just
to fail.
Just accept it,
Accept it and learn from it. And
you learn from the things that go wrong.
It. Exactly. Yeah. So I think for anybody is listening that wants to start out, just know that you will fail a lot, and that's okay.
I think what's really interesting about you three and why I wanted to bring you all together is we, and I've been lucky enough to interview some amazing entrepreneurs who've created huge beauty businesses that's, you know, a product range or fashion businesses. But you're all in the service industry. And as I said, you all could have been the plumber, but you've become the Pimlico plumbers. You've become the experts. All three of you are three of, you know, the leading experts in your categories, in your fields in this country right now. And with it are very glamorous and inspiring, but yeah, you're working in the service industry, which is different to a lot of the people that we meet. What advice do you have for people going into the service industry? Because you still have to deal with challenges and difficult people. Yeah. How do you deal
with
that?
You're always going to get difficult people, though, in every walk of life, no matter what your job is. Kill them with kindness. And of course, you're going to... You can't please everybody, right?
Yeah.
But if you can please 99%, I'm happy, is what I say to the team. So we are going to get 1%. It's life. But I love being in the service industry because actually, like you just said, when you're actually... I'm not always client-facing now because I'm trying to build the brand.
Same.
But when I am... It's an escape.
Yeah.
And I actually have two young children. So actually, when I'm just like in the zone with a client, it's actually my favorite time.
Yeah.
When I'm emailing, I can very easily get distracted because it's where my brain goes and I'm thinking about a million things. But when I'm with the client, I really am present and really want them to have an amazing experience. I want them to walk out feeling the best version of themselves. So I actually love the service side of it, I would say.
Exactly, Michaela. The same, I agree. Yeah,
I mean, I want to know who you're seeing in Hollywood.
Are you on the NDA? I'm
100% involved with my client, like I said, in that room. I give my client everything, and whether they walk in and they are soaking wet from the rain and they've been stuck in traffic, it's literally like they take their coat off and their shoes off and they strip themselves of that moment. I do feel like there are difficult people, but the moment they take their coat and their shoes off and they get on the bed, I see that client in the most vulnerable place. So I almost want to nurture that. And I just think that there are so many people in the world that love what they do. And I every day feel so blessed to love my job like I do.
My service industry for dentistry is really, really, really tough. In general, it's pretty invasive treatment, right? You know what I mean? You're not going to the dentist to relax.
No one skips to the dentist.
Exactly. Like, as you said, even a clean, which is considered to be the more kind of like gentle thing, is not even as gentle as a facial. Like, let's be honest, it's nowhere near like that. And that's the problem, because dentistry was such a frown. I mean, dentistry has one of the highest suicides of any profession. It's in the top three in the world. So dentists commit suicide, and I've known in in my lifetime I've known about 10 dentists have committed suicide, and it's really sad. And I've started a sort of mental health movement as well within the industry, because no one can talk about it, and there's a plethora of reasons, but when I was reading about the research also, it was because a lot of people come in and the first thing they say is, no offense, I hate the dentist, or I hate being here, or you're inflicting pain, or you're a butcher. Do you see what I mean? And it's actually not within
to self.
So it's moaning.
I'm not mean.
But there's obviously all these other reasons as well that come with it. But I think I think the thing is, it's really difficult, and especially where I've built up a cosmetic reputation, I actually deal with a lot of body dysmorphia. So people come to me. Obviously, I have people that really need their teeth done, and then there are some people that don't really need their teeth done. And obviously I've got to manage them, manage their expectations. I turn some patients away in a really nice way. And I actually want to provide more integrative care in the sense that I want to strip down. But like, why do you feel the need to get something done when you actually look amazing? And I think that I love the opportunity during my consultations to really understand why they're there, what's their motivation. And when you look in their mouth, it's a very vulnerable position, you know, that you're seeing a lot.
Gosh. Can we finish with some, you know, words of wisdom? You're all, you know, doing amazingly well for people who are doing what you're doing for someone else in this sort of beauty and well-being and cosmetic world. What advice would you have? Would you say go for
it? I would say go for it, but also stick with it.
Yes.
So, yeah, just really, if you love something that much, just stick with it and hold out.
I think anyone that's in the hair industry, just know that hair care is going to have a huge moment. I heard somewhere, we've been doing some market research, and only 8% of premium skincare users are using premium hair care.
Wow.
So it's going to be huge, I think, hair care. And I think hair extensions in itself, it's got a real place in the market. And if you are out there and you're a hairdresser, just keep going and just know that hair care is going to blow up.
I agree. I think the extensions thing is fascinating. Final words of wisdom, advice.
So for anyone, I think this is like general advice for anyone that's like running a, wants to start their own business. Do the research as well before you start something, and don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors, because I think a lot of people, young people in particular, they look online and they see somebody's success and they're like, it's actually really easy to start. And then they don't see that like trajectory of success immediately, but they also don't realize how much hard work and how much
hard work,
you know, sacrifice that it actually, it's not just about like pointing a camera and like creating that content, you know, but running a business is all of the boring and ugly stuff as well, like tax returns, accountants.
But it's worth it.
Totally. And it is worth it. But do the, like, do your due diligence and make sure that when you commit, that you really commit, because, you know, it's about learning skills in different other parts of the like industry, you know, because it's not just about like doing the placement. So
Those P&Ls don't happen by themselves. Ladies, thank you so much. You're all brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
It's been an honor.
Thank you. That's it for today. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends to listen to, and we will be back soon. Thanks very much. Bye bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.